I think I belong to the 4% of the population that suffers from this kind of fear. It's the fear of blood. Blood and me do not go well together. My most vivid memory of my daughter Ashley's birth is of me standing at my wife Julia's bedside as she's delivering Ashley, gripping the bar tightly, muttering, "Andrew, don't pass out. Please don't pass out. Andrew, don't pass out." I didn't pass out, at least at that birth. At my son Evan's birth, I thought I was ready. But I found myself passing out and waking to the announcement, "It's a boy!" With my sister catching my slumping body next to the bed and the nurse slipping on an oxygen mask over my face. I don't like the sight, the smell, or talk of blood. Maybe you don't suffer with the same incapacitating fear of blood as I do, but I think our culture is just as blood averse. We like to have our band-aids and makeup to cover up our wounds and imperfections. And even when we go shopping at the grocery store, we all know that meat comes from a living, breathing animal with blood pumping through its veins. And yet when we go shopping, at least I will pick the meat that looks the cleanest, the prettiest, without the blood pooling around the bottom of the foam tray. Tonight, this day is Good Friday. And as we've been journeying together with Jesus to remember his death on the cross, you can't help but notice just how bloody this story is. It's an incredibly bloody story. It's a bloody Friday. Recall where we began tonight with the last meal that Jesus shares with his friends before he goes to his death. He's at this meal. He picks up a cup and he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." And after dinner, he heads off to the garden to pray because he is so anguished of what he is about to face that the gospel writers describe his sweat drops to be like blood. And when he's facing Pilate, as we heard earlier, the Roman governor who has the power to set him free or to sentence him to his death, he chooses the latter and he proclaims, "I wash my hands of this man's blood." Meanwhile, the crowd responds, "His blood be on us and on our children." The blood themes begin even before Jesus has been flogged by a whip of leather and bone shards and metal, before he's been crowned with a crown of thorns, and before ultimately he is crucified with nails driven through his hands and feet. It's a bloody story. Yet all the artwork that we see seems to paint a different picture. We see a Jesus who looks like he's just walked out of the salon. He's got perfect hair. He's got nice, white, unblemished skin. Apparently, he doesn't have body hair. And all the wounds just show a little tiny drop of blood. New Testament writers have used the word blood 3 times more than the word cross and 5 times more than the word death. What is it about the Christian faith that so reveres the brutal death of its leader? And what is it about our human tendency to want to sanitize it? You might ask, can't we just focus on God's love? Can't we just move beyond all this bloody, barbaric element of Jesus's death? All this talk of death and punishment and blood seems just a little bit boorish and barbaric for us modern people. I wonder if in the bloody nature of his death lies a beautiful truth that if we pay attention, we may not miss. Good Friday was bloody. But what makes it so good? Perhaps biology can help us out here. Some of you are working in the health sciences, so you can correct me if I'm wrong. I drew some expertise from Luke Chen, who's a hematologist, a blood specialist, and also my mother, Susan, who is an immunologist. Did you know that our blood heals us by carrying platelets to help our wounds clot? Our blood removes waste and toxins from our tissues. Our blood protects us from invading pathogens. Our white blood cells literally sacrifice themselves as they absorb the foreign matter in our bodies and carry them away while they die. And most importantly, our red blood cells carry life-giving oxygen and nutrients to all of our organs and tissues. Could the significance of our physical blood perhaps point to the significance of Jesus' blood? We'll come back to that in a moment. Let's backtrack. You remember Pilate? Pilate was the governor who had the chance to save Jesus' life or sentence him to death. And he tries to absolve his responsibility by self-proclaiming, "I wash my hands of this man's blood." Don't you think that there's perhaps a little bit of Pilate in all of us? Sin makes us say, "I can solve my own problems. I've got it under control. I don't really need you, God." And this taking matter into our own hands leads to an isolation, either an isolation of being overwhelmed by our brokenness and how we're ever going to get out of it, or we're overwhelmed, or we're isolated because of our pride, thinking, "I got out of it. Why can't anyone else?" This isolation is just a hint of the kind of isolation that sin will one day demand from us. Sin costs someone something. You can be sincere, you can try and wash your hands of it, but someone has to pay the price. Imagine leaving your house one morning, you hop in your car, shift it into reverse, and you're backing out of your garage, or perhaps your parking stall, and you happen to hit your neighbor's car and drive off. And you might realize it along the way. It's like, "Oh," and you might feel sorry. And you might even pull over and begin writing a note. It says, "Hi, neighbor. This morning I noticed that your car was damaged. I'm so sorry that it happened to you, and I really hope it works out." Yeah, someone's got to pay. You can't just say sorry, no matter how sincere you are. Either you've got to pay for the damage, or your neighbor has got to pay for the damage, or the insurance company has got to pay for the damage. Someone has got to pay. There's always a cost. And that's the significance of Jesus' blood. Jesus' blood heals us of our shame. Jesus' blood removes the toxin of guilt from our lives. Jesus' blood protects us from the wrath of God, and Jesus gives up himself and he sacrifices himself to absorb our sin, and he pays the costly penalty of death for us. The beauty of Jesus' blood is that the cost demanded of us for our sin, the cost that we would never ever want to pay, has been paid in full by Jesus' death on the cross. The bloody nature of Jesus' death is a reminder of the bloody nature of our sin, and oh, how we like to cast that aside. We're afraid of dealing with it because we're afraid of what it would cost us. But Jesus comes as a human, lives the life that we're supposed to live, and he dies the death that we're supposed to die. And he gives of himself, he pours out his blood so that we don't have to pour out ours. That's the beauty of the cross. And that's why it's good. Nietzsche is the famous philosopher who very publicly disdained the Christian faith. And he once said, "Of all that is written, I love only what a man has written with his own blood." I wonder if Nietzsche really considered what Jesus wrote with his own blood, perhaps he would come to a place of love and submission and worship of Jesus rather than disdain. As we pause to reflect on what truly is good about Good Friday on this service, let us be encouraged. Let us rejoice that Jesus' blood heals us of our shame, removes the guilt from our lives, protects us from the wrath of God, and most importantly, he sets us free. Free to acknowledge our brokenness and call it for what it is and not feel insecure. Maybe you are experiencing an awakening to God in this recent season. And maybe that's happening even in this moment of the service. There's a secret to knowing God, and it comes only through the blood of Jesus. It seems barbaric, but it is utterly beautiful because of what his blood secures for us. That's why it's a bloody Good Friday. Please join me in prayer as we recall the words that we first sung this evening from Matt Redman's Nothing But the Blood. Jesus, your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. It speaks righteousness for me. It stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. Jesus, may your blood speak loudly and clearly to our need of you today. And if you're here today and have never placed your life in Jesus' hands, perhaps you could pray a prayer like this. Living God, I see my own brokenness, and I would prefer to push it aside or cover it up, knowing what it would truly cost me. Yet in your death, I see that my guilt, my shame, and my brokenness are forgiven and made right. The cost of my sin has been paid in full by your Son, Jesus. I trust in what you have done for me, so I place my life in your hands. Help me to live for you in light of this bloody yet beautiful truth. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.